Greetings.
Salutations.
Okay, shall we start?
Yes.
Okay, here it goes. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, August 9th, 2025. It is just seconds after 2 UTC as we're starting to record. I am Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hi.
You sound so enthused today.
Yeah.
You having a great time? You're pumped up?
I'm a little bit at a loss for words to describe how I feel. Not sure exactly why I even feel like this at this moment. A lot of things have happened, but I don't know. It's just, there just is the...
life thing,
you know,
news
have
things,
this,
just
everything,
general.
Everything. It's just, but we've have this, I think here is the main thing.
Yes.
That we have, you know, our days sometimes can get very lengthy with a lot of things going on and so forth and so on. And they get kind of tiring. Last Friday, I felt exhausted, like by noon. One thing that's not helping is that I have an abdominal strain. It's a muscular strain.
Okay.
At first I thought that maybe could have been diverticulitis where the pain was. I wasn't sure. Or I thought it was something
before,
intestinal.
Like a while
right.
Back.
But I thought up for a bit, but then I realized this pain is not the same. This is not intestinal. I'm noticing that the pain is in the same location, but it's only happening when I'm like standing up and standing up in a way that I'm using my abdominal muscles, like when I'm in bed. Okay. That was like the worst. And so I noticed that if I stood up very gently, it wasn't happening. I went to the doctor. My doctor was a little bit out of sorts. I realize he did, you know, check me and he said, look, this doesn't feel like diverticulitis, but I'm going to send you to get a CT scan anyway. Thing is, my CT scan wound up getting canceled because the doctor hadn't sent the notes. They didn't get the approval, blah, blah, blah. But he was doing that as a precaution because it felt like it was muscular. We felt, you know, it looked like I did it where I felt like I had a little twinge there in my lower abdomen. And then on Saturday, the workout that I did at where I go to, Orange Theory Fitness, involved quite a lot of sit-ups. A lot of sit-ups.
Which aggravated whatever issue you had.
Yes. So doing quite a lot of sit-ups. And I just, but the problem is I thought it was gastro, my soreness there. So I'm like, whatever. I'll do a ton of sit-ups, right? Wrong. That was bad. Really bad. Not good. Okay. So I've had this underlying like malaise and pain, which has been getting better. I've been resting. It's all I can do. It's all I can do for this. Rest. Not much else to do. And then it's just that we live right now in this era where there is just this constant drumbeat of annoying shit happening in the news every fucking day. And it's
so
every fucking
day. So what you're saying is your body is reacting badly to the general stress of life in 2020.
Well, no, I don't know if it's, no, I'm not saying that it's that was my body's reaction to it. What I'm saying is you're asking me, why am I feeling like blah? And then some
and
other annoying shit. Exactly. You've got this constant drumbeat underneath. I've got my abs that I got my damn lower abdominal that's like hurting. And then some annoying shit happened or whatever. And so it, and then I'm tired because I feel, I mean, I like, you know, this afternoon I got to like 2 o'clock and I'm feeling fucking just exhausted already. Mm-hmm. So it's just, so by the time I'm getting now to like 10 o'clock Eastern, I'm just feeling, eh. And then I just saw some guy that had a football game on, and apparently they suspended the football game because some guy apparently got really badly hurt. Like, you know, bad enough that, you know, they stopped the game. Bad enough.
Right.
So that wasn't uplifting.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, which part is worse, okay? You know, the ICE raids, the alligator Alcatraz, the stupid president that we've got that's just tariff this, tariff that. I had a, you know, my, you know, somebody was telling me a story about ICE showing up at some condo, like, you know, like about 5-10 miles away and how they were worried. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I'm not even sure it's totally ICE. It was a big police presence. The suspicion was it was ICE. I don't know. They were arresting. It looks like they were trying to arrest some maintenance guy or some stupid shit. And they show up with like 15 police cars. Like, you know, they're arresting, you know, it's some nonviolent dude. And they're going at it like, we're picking up Osama bin Laden or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I'm sorry to tell you that whole thing about that shooting in Atlanta wasn't exactly uplifting either. You went and you got ahead of me. I was like, I was thinking of texting our mutual friend
Kathy.
So just
for our listeners, Friday evening, early afternoon, evening, whatever, there was an active shooter on sort of Emory University / CDC. They're right next to each other.
Yeah, they're right next to each other.
And it, as it turns out, I think it's all like settled now, but they...
The shooter's dead.
The shooter's dead. It's all taken care of, whatever. But apparently he was specifically targeting the CDC, seemingly because he thinks the COVID vaccine made him sick. Something like
that.
Yeah,
that's great. You know.
And anyway, a friend of ours, Kathy, who...
Your husband works at the fucking CDC.
She used to work there. Her husband still works there. She's got a bunch of friends that work there. And so I saw the news alert and I like pinged her and her like, is everybody okay? Her husband had left like 15 minutes before this had happened, but a whole bunch of other people she knew were still in lockdown over there. So.
Great. I mean, it's just all very annoying, Sam. Irritating. You know, this is all of it. It's Peter actually said it best on the Slack today. I can't believe Americans elected this motherfucker again.
Yep. Yep. Yes.
I mean,
what else can you say?
What else can you say?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. You fired the IRS guy. Apparently, I guess he was too nice or something.
It's unclear why, but this is like the sixth one so far since Trump has been president. So, like, they don't last very long.
Sixth guy, it's only been 8 months. What the fuck? This guy was just confirmed by the Senate 2 months ago.
Right.
I don't know. He's going to go meet Putin in Alaska. You might fucking explain, explain to me this horse shit.
Well, they're going to meet in Alaska, you need part of the Ukraine deal to be giving back Alaska, right?
Yeah, I'll probably sell it back at something at the, you know, when he's up there, claims a great deal or something. And by the way, look, another thing, I tried to buy a new suit. I failed at buying a new suit.
Okay, you went to buy a new suit.
I realize that I am in the minority.
Okay.
In terms of buying suits.
That you do it at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I bought a suit, like, what was it, last year sometime because I was going to some event and... My size had changed, so like I couldn't wear. I mean, I could have worn the one I had before, but it probably, I don't know. It would have needed to be cleaned.
Here's the one thing. My number of suits, I haven't bought any new suits in a while. Okay. And my number of suits has dwindled. There were some older suits that I got rid of because I didn't fit in very well. The one thing about it is that, and the problem was that I bought suits a lot that were tailored. And so usually if it was, I gained weight, like my waist, they could be adjustable. The problem isn't that. The problem is that because I've started lifting weights about 10 years ago, the size of the jacket right now that I need is bigger. Okay. Mm. There wasn't any fixing that. Okay. It was significantly bigger.
Your massive muscles you now have.
Because I have more muscles than I used to have. Yes. Okay. There is no way of me fitting in the old jacket. It just won't happen. So
you could do that Incredible Hulk thing. Yeah, put on the jacket, and then you go, and it like
rips. That would have been great. So I had to get rid of some suits that I just could not fit in because of that. And then I had one of my favorite suits, which is a Hickey Freeman suit, which are American-made suits. And not just that. Look, Hickey Freeman is a brand made, not anymore, in Rochester, New York. Okay, in upstate New York. Presidents wore them regularly. Barack Obama's wardrobe of suits consisted mostly of Hickey Freeman's, okay? So this is a suit that was a brand that was recognized as the gold standard of a suit that was made in America, okay? And they were expensive, okay? All right? They're a Hickey Freeman suit was over $2,000, okay? A pop, okay? And you got a custom made one, it could be $3,000, $4,000. But it was, you know, the one thing is that a Hickey Freeman was the American suit, the best one that you could really get. Okay. Unfortunately, that suit, the pants I had damaged by sitting in a couple of places that wind up ripping the pants. I had repaired the pants a couple of times, but they got to a point that there was just no more. They couldn't be repaired. My tailor looked at it and said, it's done. It's over.
You're done.
And so that suit died. And I'm like, damn it. You know, the store where I bought suits in the last 15, 17 years, I'd say, has been Nordstrom. Okay. So I go to see, okay, you know what? I really liked, I had that one. I have another Hickey Freeman sport coat, which is really nice. Their stuff was really nice. I go try to find a Hickey Freeman. Well, Nordstrom's not carrying Hickey Freeman anymore. And I'm like, well, why the hell happened? And then I go and I find that the only place that has Hickey Freeman is Dillard's. Look, Dillard's is not high-end clothes. Okay?
Mm. Okay.
And I notice that the prices on the suits are about a third of what they used to be. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Well, whoever owned Hickey Freeman, by the way, that have been in business making those suits up there in Rochester for over 100, I don't know how many years, got sold to some company that decided to offshore the making of the Hickey Freeman suits to China.
Okay.
And now they're sold exclusively at Dillard's for, you know, $600-$700. They're not the same suits. It's a cheap Chinese suit now that they just took the fucking brand and slapped it on. So I can't buy a Hickey Freeman.
Well, you know, could.
I could, but I would be a cheap piece of crap. So I'm not buying that. I'm like, fuck, I'm not buying. The other thing is, look, Nordstrom does the alter. Listen, Nordstrom, when you buy a suit, they will properly fit the suit for you. They will do it. And one thing, well, I had the Nordstrom credit card, which for some reason, my credit limit is very small. I was going to have to figure out what the hell to do. I don't know. They lowered the credit limit. I'm like, I can't buy a suit. I got, but it includes an alteration credit. So the alterations are free. I want to take advantage. Okay. Well, I got free alterations. Well, you go get that done. Okay. But there's no more Hickey Freeman suits. So I'm like, okay. At Dillard's, they won't do a custom fit like that. So they don't do that there. You buy it off the rack and, you know, people wear it that way. So I can't do that. Okay. Then they used to sell at Nordstrom also another American brand, Joseph Abboud. And I like those suits and I got a couple of those. another brand that also, because the suit market is going to shit, that brand also gone. It's the only place that you can get them now is some shit at Men's Warehouse that is not made at the factory, because that was also American made, that was made up there. Nope, no go. That's also disappeared. I'm like, fuck, what the hell? Okay, so the other suits that I had, which I got rid of a couple, the ones that I couldn't fit because of my massive biceps. Yes, I couldn't fit. They're Canalis, which are Italian. Okay. And I like those. And I've had a number of those over the years. Okay, great. I'll buy. Okay. Well, they do have Canalis. Okay. Right. But I figured out that I looked through the brands and the brands of suits that I bought over the years. They're all like gone. They have very little inventory. I went to store, you know, I was looking at even the high end stores like Neiman Marcus, Saks. Well, here's a problem. These stores are all going bankrupt. Saks, Neiman Marcus, and all of these basically were not being able to pay vendors. They had almost no inventory of suits either. Okay. Another thing is my size. Look, I'm a weird oddball size. Okay. I'm short. I'm wide. I need a suit. I didn't fit into, but listen, you know, short and wide. I couldn't fit in a fucking MRI machine. Okay. Well, you know, last year, because my shoulders I have shoulders that are so broad that I couldn't fit in the fucking MRI machine. Couldn't get through my shoulders. I'm like, what the fuck? I had to go to another MRI place that had a bigger machine to get in.
Right.
So my dimensions are odd. Okay. So I need a specific size. And so I go to, let me find some discount places online. Maybe they have some Italian suits at a discount online. Yeah, this place has it at a discount. Only on one size that, I don't know, maybe my son could fit in it. I don't know. And I'm like, so bottom line that I concluded, nobody's buying fucking suits. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. It's not easy to go out there to buy a suit, even at like places like Men's Warehouse or whatever, but specialized. Very few, you know, what they had was a lot of sport coats.
Yeah. The number of situations where it is expected that you wear a suit has reduced dramatically over the last few decades.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it's now, I mean, there are a few businesses, industries where it's still sort of expected, but they are dwindling. I mean, even the politicians aren't always wearing them, right? You know,
a lot of politicians now just maybe they're not wearing ties, but many of them are still wearing a suit just without a tie. Well, that's what you see a lot.
But you see a lot of that. But you're seeing more casual stuff.
You're seeing a lot more casual. Yes,
even there, and so it's starting to be like, you know, weddings and funerals, and not even those all the time.
Not even those. Listen, I showed up in a black suit for a funeral lately, and I was, you know, we were in the minority. Not the only one, but we were definitely in the minority. Okay.
Right.
And so I have this thing. I'm in sales. I'm going to people sometimes, not just asking for hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. Okay. You know, a number of my customers are in a sports coat jacket or maybe a suit still. Okay.
So you match your customer.
I'm not going to a customer, you know, wearing fucking jeans and some dumb, you know, whatever thing. I'm fucking, you know what? I want somebody that I want to get like a $1 million deal from. I'm, you know what? I'll show up in a suit. I mean, that's just, you know, I see other people that do it that way. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm just not comfortable with that. And maybe it's just a habit. It's just whatever. But I'm just not comfortable with that.
Presumably, it depends at least a little bit on the client, right? Like if you went to a client that was 100% casual and they're like, don't show up in a suit, you would.
Oh, the thing is that none of my customers are like that.
Right.
None of my customers are like that. So it's just none of my customers are like that. And I will tell you that even some of my customers that tend to be more casual, I do see that they expect that the vendors
or not.
We want you to put on your little show, monkey.
Yes. Yes. Dance, monkey, dance. Here we go. Yes. So, you know. But yeah, I found it that it was far more challenging to, I mean, look, I'm telling you, almost all the American brands that I are gone. The only one that I saw that is left, I guess, is Brooks Brothers. Because apparently okay. Brooks Brothers is making suits at that same factory where they used to make the Hickey Freeman suits. But I will admit that I have a extreme disdain for Brooks Brothers. I don't like their clothes. I don't like their suits. I don't like their shirts. I don't like anything they sell. And I got, the last time I bought something there, I got into a very, I got into an argument because they sold me something that I didn't realize had a grease stain. Okay.
Okay.
And it was a sweater. And I went and I got home and I tried it. It didn't look. And then all of a sudden when I went to put it away, I'm like, what the fuck? I went back and I said, guys, I'm sorry, but this suit had to stain. And they tried to say that I did it. I literally came back like an hour later. I'm like, I took it out of the bag and it looked like this. They gave me a fucking hard time about it. I was like, Jesus Christ, fuck this store. Okay. All right. I'm not. Yeah. But and even by the way, Brooks Brothers also had gone into bankruptcy.
Yes. So the moral of the story is that this is a dying industry and you should not invest in it.
That's for sure. Don't invest in the suit industry. That definitely. If there are suit stocks out there, like, I mean, I guess men's warehouse is in financial dire straits as well. So I will tell you one curious thing that I saw in the industry where it's doing fine in terms of like more formal attire. The wedding, like tuxedo wedding businesses.
Okay.
Those are actually doing pretty good.
Because it's one of the few things where at least the wedding party wants to dress up.
Exactly.
Maybe not the guests, but the wedding party themselves, they still want to dress up.
Yes. Yes, totally. And so that industry seems to be doing pretty well, okay, from what I could tell. Mm-hmm. Those guys. But you know, all the other stuff, they're doing like shit. I mean,
Okay. My turn?
Yeah.
So I should have said this at the very beginning, but I didn't. We are, of course, doing our butt first where we talk about non-newsy stuff. Then we'll take a break and we'll do news stuff. Although the first thing Yvonne started talking about was adjacent to the news. It was, you know, everything yes. going on. But so as usual, I'm going to do a couple of movies. We are now in November of last year, by the way. So second half.
Look,
of November.
November last year means we're not like 10 years off.
That's right. I'm still behind, but this is why I'm doing two per episode.
I mean, this is not that bad. I mean, I still remember Sam had these to-do lists that he used to have when we were in college. And when he kept reorganizing shit, and there must have been shit on that to-do list that was on there for years and years. Oh. It's still not done.
You talk about this as if it was past tense. I still have lists like that.
Wait, you still have the to-do? I mean, I remember and add timestamps and shit.
The form has changed. I no longer have like a single document with the to-do list that gets printed out on a regular basis, blah, blah, blah. But I've actually got multiple mechanisms whereby I use random number generators to determine which project I'm going to work on at a particular time. So I have,
of course, this is how to prioritize stuff. Do I turn off the bomb or do I change the oil? I'm like, I'll do the oil. The bomb. Whatever.
It's fine. So I have things where I have multiple layers and random numbers that get you one category and then you go into another. I did have a system a few years back where I had a Google spreadsheet that automatically adjusted the priority based on how long it had been since I'd last done the thing.
And that was like, you know, you can't do it. That's right.
But that one ended up getting like, well, here's what happens with all of my to-do lists. No matter what, I always have more to do than I have time to do. So eventually, So eventually what happens is that there's something that I feel like I really should be spending more time on that isn't coming up enough in the existing system. So I layer on top of it another system that gives more precedence to that thing, but still all the old things are there. So like right now, for instance, the first thing I do is roll a 1 to 6 number. And if it's a 1, then I fall back to the older mechanism I had before and roll from that.
Oh, God. Okay.
And like the other items, and I am simplifying slightly, actually. The other items, 2 through 6, only 2 of them are actually single item items. The others, like if I roll a 4, for instance, there's actually something like 25 different tasks within the 4. So if I roll the 4, then I roll a 1 through 25 and determine which of those I do. And
oh my God, this is the most hilarious thing I've heard in a while.
And so, yeah, so I have sort of a tiered level of priorities, and a random number picks the first thing. And then when you're in the second thing, there's another system that picks what you do there. And of course, random numbers are a key part of this system at all times.
Of course. Randomization has to be part of it. Yes.
It has absolutely to be part of it. Now, I have various things to make sure the randomization, not everything is equal. Some things are more important than others, so are more likely to come up than others, but it's still randomized. And then things happen, like, you know, the system breaks down, and so I realize, you know, it's been 4 weeks since I've done laundry or something.
Down. What a shocking development. No kidding, really? Wow.
You know, and I'm like, you know, I can't just keep buying new socks when I run out of clean socks. I have to actually do laundry sometimes. You know?
Yes, I can see all that randomization. Oh, just buy underwear. I'll buy underwear. I'll buy underwear. Oh, shit, I need socks. What am I doing?
Exactly. So anyway, I could spend a half an hour on the details of this, but I think this has probably been enough.
No, it's been enough. We need to make sure we catch up on some of these movies. Okay.
2 movies from this time. First was, I watched a whole lot in November of last year because, you know, holiday, Thanksgiving.
Right.
Like there was time.
Yes.
So this was November 17th, but then, like, I'm looking ahead. Today I'm going to do 1 from November 17th and 1 from November 21st, but there were actually 2 movies on the 21st and 1 on the 23rd and 1 on the 24th and 1 on the 30th.
Okay. Cuz you
know,
wow,
it was that kind of time, you know? Okay. There's lots of TV watching at the end of November because there's holidays and there's home time and, you know,
sports. Whatever. Right. You watched all the football games, of course.
What?
The football games.
Football. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. Anyway, the November 17th movie was from the year 2015, the second movie in the Divergent series called Insurgent.
Oh, God, this stupid Divergent series. The whole Divergent series kind of like just pissed me off.
Did you watch all 3?
No, I think I watched parts of the first one. I know Shailene Woodley is in it. I know that.
Yes.
It's been a while, about 10 years. First of all, the name pisses me off.
Divergent?
Yeah. I don't know what the hell it is that a movie called Divergent sounds to me like it's stupid. I don't know why. Okay. I don't know why. Just, you know, to me, it's like some guy was trying to make the movie different. Oh, we'll call it Divergent.
Well, it was based on a book that was
called
Divergent.
I know.
And the whole,
there's 3 movies, if I remember correctly.
There's 3 movies. I think there's 4 books.
My wife was actually, you know what?
5 books now, actually.
All right. I have not watched. This is another one that I have not watched in its entirety. This was a time also with linear TV when this happened. My wife happened to be watching it. I watched a part of it. I came away with thinking this thing is stupid, and I left the room. Something along these lines.
Let me tell you where I was. I believe I gave the first movie a thumbs up. I really liked it.
Okay.
It basically, the title Divergent actually comes from the fact that there are some individuals, the society has been broken up into sort of castes by like right. What kind of jobs they do.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's like the intellectuals, there's the politicians, there's the soldiers, there's the whatever. Each of them have different names, but it's divided up into these castes. And then the divergent people are essentially people who don't fit into any of those categories well. Okay. And I liked the first movie. I thought it was like some interesting, and I have not read the books, by the way, but I thought there were some interesting ideas. I thought it was well executed. I liked the actress. I liked sort of the situations they put her in and how it played out. I felt like the second movie, I'm only going to give a thumb sideways to. It was sort of like it doubled down on the action part of things as opposed to the interesting ideas part of things. Like the first movie I found interesting because, you know, they had the factions and how was this society structured and what was the divergent person and why and stuff. And there was still some of that in the second one because you sort of evolved the idea and found out a little bit more about why the factions existed and how that came about and blah, blah, blah. But it really sort of doubled down on being, hey, we've got like, it's an action movie. There's like a war, there's a battle, there's people running around and jumping on trains and rappelling and shooting and blah, blah, blah. And I just find that aspect of it less interesting than the ideas part. And it felt like the ideas were explored in the first one. And the second one was more just about, okay, now let's have everybody run around and fight and you know, this kind of stuff. And that was just less interesting to me. It was okay. I'm giving it a thumb sideways. Again, I reserve the thumbs down for the worst of the worst, but I give it a thumb sideways. It was okay. It was an entertaining couple hours. How long was this thing? 119 minutes, so almost exactly a couple hours. And it was fine. It was a fine little movie. It did not bore me. It was interesting. It covered the couple hours, but it didn't feel like, oh, wow, this is a good movie I will remember.
Amazing, yes.
Whereas, you know, the first movie wasn't like going to be like, it wasn't like going to, I'm going to say it wasn't award winning, but I don't know. Maybe it did win some awards. I don't even remember, but I liked
it. I have to look this up.
The first one, I was like, that was a good movie. I really enjoyed this. This second one was more like, it was a movie. It was okay. And that's
okay.
That's it. But you hated the first one enough that the second one wasn't even in your radar.
I think it may have been. I'm thinking now.
I think I remember actually, you saying you fell asleep in one of these.
It's very possible. I fall asleep in a lot of movies. that's a distinct possibility. I think that the one that I hated, where I had not watched the first one, my wife's watching the second one.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure about this, that it was the second.
Okay.
Because
let's move it on. The second movie for this time around, which again I watched on November 21st, 2024, is Kubo and the Two Strings from 2016.
Kubo and the what?
The Two Strings.
Okay.
It's a stop motion animated fantasy film. And it give you some of the people who are in it. Charlize Theron, Ralph Fiennes, Rooney Mara, George Takei, Matthew McConaughey. Okay. So it's got some and Art
All-star
Parkinson.
Cast. Okay.
I don't know who Art Parkinson is, but like anyway, thumbs up. I really liked this movie. Like I really enjoyed this movie. Let me give you the first paragraph of the plot from Wikipedia, of course. In the early feudal Japan era, a 12-year-old boy with only one eye, named Kubo, tends to his ill mother, Sariatu, in a mountain cave near a village. He earns their living by manipulating origami with music from his magical shamisen, a Japanese stringed instrument, telling the tale of his missing father, Hanzo, a samurai warrior. Kubo is never able to finish his story, as he does not know what happened to Hanzo and his mother cannot recall the end due to her deteriorating mental state. His mother warns him not to stay out after dark, as her sisters Karasu and Washi, as well as his grandfather the Moon King, who took his eye when he was a baby, will find him and take his remaining eye. Obviously, at one point, he stays out after night, after dark, and things happen, and adventure ensues, and a whole bunch of stuff happens, and he finds out, this is as spoilery as I'm going to get, he finds out more about what happened to his father and to the history of what happened to his eye and all this kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. He discovers some of that. In any case, I really liked the movie. I didn't think I was going to like it. At first, I was like, what the hell is this? This is kind of goofy. But like as it went on, it drew me in. I really got it. It hit some emotional notes. It was the kind of thing where by the end, it was tugging at your heartstrings. And that's the kind of movie I end up liking the most. Like, I'm pretty sure I ended the movie like crying, which I like it when a movie makes me cry. You know, and yeah, I liked the movie. It was not one I'd really heard of before I watched it. I don't know how it got on my list. I'm sure somebody mentioned it. Like I put movies on my list. If I ever see anybody mention a movie in anything even remotely like a positive way, I add it to my list. Also, if it's ever a wiki of the day, I add it to my list, you know, things like that. Anyway, big thumbs up for Kubo and the Two Strings. It is animated, but you know, it's an all family movie. It's not like a kid's movie. It's got some like themes that will hit you as an adult as well. But it's also like, it's not going to be bad for kids either. Kids will also enjoy it. Anyway, let's see.
97% in Rotten Tomatoes rated. So it got really good.
There you go.
So by the way,
it was nominated for Best Animated Feature at the Academy Awards, as well as Best Visual Effects, but it lost to Zootopia and The Jungle Book.
Oh, well.
But, you know, I have not seen either Zootopia or the more recent Jungle Book. I think I once upon a time saw the original from like whatever it was, the 60s or 70s, whenever that was. But yeah, no, big thumbs up.
So okay, I went back.
Yes.
I went back and checked on Divergent. I still remember one thing, that these were like multiple movies here. So I think I started getting annoyed because the first one is Divergent. The second one was Divergent Series Insurgent. It sounds like something that a car.
That actually annoys me too, that it's not like just Insurgent. It's the Divergent series colon Insurgent.
And, you know, it sounds like a made-up name that a car company would give a car, like Acura with the Integra. Okay, this is what this sounds like. Then the third one was
Divergent
series Allegiant.
Yes.
Okay, you know, sounds like Allegis. They made up a name that was sort of a corporate name for some travel company, whatever. I don't, by the way, they went, according to this, they kept going really downhill. The third one was very poorly received. It was so badly received that there was supposed to be a two-parter.
I have seen the third one at this point too, but I will save it till when we get to it in order. But I will agree, this is one of those trilogies where each one is worse than the one before.
Yes, it was really bad. And not just that, it was supposed to be two parts. It was so bad that they canceled the second part. There was supposed to be a TV spinoff, and they canceled that too.
Yes.
But Kubo and the other thing, I don't even remember this happened. So, but
yeah, I hadn't really heard of it. I mean, it somehow got on my list, but like, yeah.
And you liked it. And I saw the reviews, and it's a very big thumbs up as well from other people have watched it.
It is worth looking up. I'm sure it's on one of the streaming services, or you can buy it on Apple or something, but it's worth it. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. Now, if you like that sort of, you know, kid goes on an adventure, there's family dynamics, and it pulls on your heartstrings kind of movie, then you'll like this.
Okay.
With that, let's knock this sucker out. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about the news. back after this. No, no, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind, No Blue Thing, Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening, and The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Okay, and with that, Yvonne, your pick. What newsy thing shall we start with today?
Thank you. Shit.
Tough choice? Nothing exciting you?
I hate all of it.
We could just do more movies.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, it's not on the list, but... So Trump was on the roof of the White House, right?
Yes.
This week,
that
right?
was real. That did happen.
What the fuck is going on, Sam? I mean, what the... What in the fuck? I mean,
okay,
Sam,
so wait.
Sam, the president of the United States, out of the blue, all of a sudden, is walking around yelling from the roof of the White House.
No. So there's a joke answer, and then there is a real explanation as far as I can tell. So the joke answer is like he showed up on the roof, and the reporters down on the ground were like, hey, sir, why are you on the roof?
Right.
And he's like, I'm taking a walk. I'm just going for a stroll.
Yeah,
and then he yelled back and forth at the reporters for a while. But if you listen to the continued conversation after that, it looks like this is yet more Donald Trump looking at remodeling the White House stuff. He's like, he's talking about like building some additional stuff up there on the roof. Like, he made some hand gestures like maybe he was going to build a dome of some sort up there.
Is this still crazy shit, Sam? We're in the middle. I mean, I'm sorry.
And he wasn't by himself. He had the Secret Service and other people with him up there.
Yeah, there were some people there that looked none too pleased about him being on the fucking roof, by the way. Those people were not looking like, oh, yeah, this is a great idea.
Uh-huh. Look, he wants to build a giant golden dome on top of the White House roof.
Oh my God! There keeps more gold in the fucking Oval
Office. Every time you look
it's
at
like
the Oval
goddamn,
Office, more gold.
It's like a fucking guy. I mean, what the hell? It's like an emir's.
Did you see the patio that they replaced the Rose Garden with?
Oh God! Yeah, with the fucking.
It's also got
the
like
golden umbrellas. Oh, my God. Jesus fucking God.
He wandered around on a roof, but he had a purpose, sort of. Although it's unclear for real what he was like. There's no real information about. Oh yeah, he's considering building axe or whatever. It was just like sort of bullshitting while he was talking up there, and like who knows what was serious and what was a joke and what wasn't and whatever. But
I mean, of course he keeps saying that he's paying for, with donors for this fucking golden fucking ballroom.
Well, but now let me understand. To build this ballroom, they basically have to demolish a huge portion of the existing White House to replace it with this thing, right?
That's not what I understood. I understood that...
Are they squeezing it in between the existing parts?
They're squeezing it in, yeah. They're squeezing
this in. Oh, sort of where that long hallway is that goes off to the east wing or whatever.
Yes, it's... Yeah, something like that is my understanding, yeah. They're just going to squeeze it in.
I thought they were going to actually, like... Gut my, the existing building.
Nah, like, but my whole point about this is the shit that is just in his head. And then he was there the other day with a whole bunch of charts.
About the economy.
About the economy. The I don't know, with a whole bunch of, but he didn't even, he started showing these charts. He doesn't even know what the fuck they say. And he's just saying, look at these numbers. They're great numbers. Wonderful numbers. You don't even know line what the fuck's up on the charts. Yeah, the line went up.
Right.
And then we were tariffing gold. And then they were trying to clarify we're not tariffing gold.
Because the Swiss were upset.
Well, the Swiss were here this week. And I don't think Trump even talked to the president of Switzerland, which I'm guessing is because he didn't talk to her because she's a woman. And he's just a sexist prick as well.
Okay.
Aside from a pedophile.
Yes. So is our theme here Trump's mental health and competence?
Like, I mean,
because we've talked about this before. I mean, he was never very good, and he's been getting worse.
Worse! And then, you know, I don't know. I'm going to give, listen.
We can't hear about anything else on TV other than Trump's mental decline, right? Because that's what happened to Biden when he had a couple missteps.
Right. Look, I know that I'm pretty sure that Jake Tapper is working on his book right now on Trump's mental decline. Yes.
Yes. And nonstop coverage about how he should resign because he clearly doesn't know what he's doing anymore, right?
Right. Yeah. I got a fucking lunatic just walking, president walking through the fucking roof in the middle of the day in the White House. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And yelling at reporters down up there.
Well, if he didn't yell, they wouldn't have been able to hear him.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Good point.
And they were yelling at him.
Yeah. And then apparently now he's trying to insert himself into the New York City mayor race, and he's trying to endorse everybody, you know, so he's trying to endorse the supposed Democrats that are against Mondami. Oh, God, let me butcher his name.
Mondami.
Oh, fuck.
See, now you got me having to check.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I should know this by now.
Did you find it?
I'm working on it. Mamdani.
Mamdani.
Fuck, Jesus.
There he is. Zoran Mamdani.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Continue.
He's scheming with Cuomo for the New York mayor's
race? Well, there were reports they had a call. Cuomo denies it was about the race at all, but he didn't actually deny there was a call. Meanwhile, Mamdani is, of course, running with it that clearly a vote for Cuomo or Adams is really a vote for Trump.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
it's true. I mean, Eric Adams cut a deal with him.
Yes.
So he's in his pocket. And it seems that Cuomo, for some reason, also is like playing, you know, for Trump too.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what it seems like right now.
Well, I think the thing is, I mean, at various times.
Here's the problem. Cuomo just wants to win. He doesn't care.
Yes, I was going to say that. At various times in the past, Cuomo has positioned himself as anti-Trump. He's also positioned himself as like, hey, I can work with whoever. I can get things done, blah, blah, blah. He's positioned himself a whole bunch of different ways. The whole Cuomo thing just pisses me off.
Oh my God, to no end.
You know, like, after what happened to you, go slink away and disappear.
Right.
You know, like, You've got plenty of money. You'll do fine. Just go retire, kick your feet up, watch some TV.
Like Giuliani. He could be collecting a couple of billion bucks a year.
There's a bunch of things he could do. He does not have to go back and run for office again. I mean, you resigned in disgrace. Come on. Of course, the lesson all of these people have been having, the lesson from Trump himself getting reelected and everybody else is never resign.
Yeah.
Double down and screw it. Yeah.
Okay. Here's one thing on the New York race. I looked up to see if there was any recent polling. Recent polling right now, this is about five days ago that I found here on the race. A new poll found Mondmani with a significant lead in the current field of five candidates, attaining 50% of the vote, regardless of his opponent.
Yeah. Unlike the first round, this isn't any funky runoff, multiple choice, whatever. This is just like whoever gets the most votes wins, right? There's not even a runoff.
Let me see. The combined low support for I'm not sure, so I'm checking to see if they got ranked choice polling for the.
I think that was only for the polls, primary.
My numbers was conducted 2.9. I supports never dips below 50% and only increases in a thinner field of candidates. For example, in a hypothetical four-way race without Cuomo, Mamdani's support rose to 55%. In a four-way race without Adams, his support rose to 51%. Mamdani is the only candidate of five that the majority of respondents, 58%, said he would consider voting for in November's election. And Gabriel's 37% they were voting for Cuomo, 27% they were voting for younger Adams. It's very like the Republican doesn't exist in this election, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Republicans have been mayor in New York many times before. You mentioned Giuliani. Bloomberg was a Republican before he was a Democrat. And,
right.
You know, it takes a certain situation for that to occur.
Yeah, and it's not happening right now. But it's looking like it doesn't matter who he's trying to, like, support. Mamdani's got enough support that he's going to win.
I have answered my question. In New York City, primary elections are conducted with ranked choice voting, while first-past-the-post is used for general elections. So that means whoever has the plurality, they don't even have to get 50%.
Oh, beautiful. So he's got the edge, Yeah, he's got a total edge. So it's looking like he's definitely way ahead. So,
and by the way, there's still all sorts of leadership Democrats hedging their bets on this guy.
By the way, they're idiots. Okay, I just went and I went to this. I searched on this. And I got ads. CBP is hiring officers now. Serve your country while earning a competitive salary and benefits with CBP. Apply today. So there's a career option for you, Sam.
Border Patrol?
Yeah. You could go and they could partner you up with Dean Cain. You guys are the dream team.
For those who didn't see Dean Cain, who's one of the actors who played Superman in a TV series a while back, who basically hasn't had an active acting career lately and came out as a rabid MAGA conservative type, has said he's joining ICE.
He must be doing really well since he's joining ICE.
Well, and ICE apparently said, too, he'll be there sort of in a symbolic fashion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like he's actually going to be out on the street doing stuff.
I mean, so he's lying, really, because I figured he just signed up to be a fucking officer. But, well, to help all these guys lie about everything.
Well, this seems like a natural segue into the South Park episode on ICE.
You know, the one thing about this whole thing, the South Park episode where they had Kristi Noem on shooting every puppy that appeared on TV.
Which, by the way, I have not seen the whole episode, but I have seen multiple clips. Yvonne shared on the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack the first clip where she was shooting puppies, which apparently she was shooting a commercial in a South Park episode. She was shooting a commercial to recruit for ICE, and it was basically the theme of it is no qualifications anymore. We don't care who you are. You can join. But she kept getting distracted by having to shoot puppies. But that like wandered by or whatever. But apparently, from other clips I've seen, this was a recurring theme throughout the entire episode. The closing credits had her running into a pet store and just shooting up the whole place and killing everything in there.
And the thing is that, you know, while she's doing this,
by the way, apparently she's pissed all this, about this.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that. And while she's, yes, you know, motivating all these people with all this Nazi sloganeering and shit, whatever, whatnot, and shooting puppies in front of them, the one thing is that her makeup starts falling apart. Okay.
Right.
And then an entire coterie of aides come in to try to fix her. And her whole takeaway from this was that they were ragging on her looks. That's what she took away from this. And I'm just like, wait a second. Not that you're shooting the puppies, not that you're being basically a Nazi on TV. Your take, and by the way, what they were mocking wasn't the looks. What they were mocking was her obsession on the looks, which basically trumped, pun intended, everything else, okay? Because its image is everything for this
woman.
Well,
it's more than that, too. They were also mocking the general tendency. If you look at women in Trump world.
Oh, fuck, yeah. They're all, holy shit.
You can see, if you Google this online, you can see before and after.
Yeah, it's the Mar-a-Lago look.
Where before, they looked like normal women.
Yes!
And then the after, they've had, like, in some cases, it's just Botox, makeup. In some cases, there's plastic surgery. Makeup. There's whatever. But there's a specific
fillers
look.
Oh, shit.
As far as I'm concerned, they universally look worse.
Oh, my God. So much worse. Holy shit.
It's like you looked like a normal, like, attractive woman. And now you look like some sort of...
Some kind of Frankenstein, experiment. Is what they look like afterwards. Holy shit. Yeah. So they were mocking that, not the way that she actually looked, but their obsession with this look. And the obsession with the looks, because she was standing, like I mentioned, she was standing in front of a jail in El Salvador, okay? A jail. A gulag, basically, that they created in fucking El Salvador, wearing an $80,000 watch. You know? And I'm going, and again, as I said, tell me where the fuck this money's coming from, Sam. Because this woman never made more than $100,000 a year, okay? Before she got to this job. And somehow she was wearing an $80,000 watch. You want to explain that one to me?
Trump coin.
Ah, Trump coin. Yeah, forgot about that. Now you can hold it in your 401k.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
We could buy the Trump coins into our 401k, prepare for our retirement. Excellent.
Okay. So
also, in
any
Trump
other
London,
general ranting about the Trump administration you wanted?
Yes. Tim Apple went to the White House.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was going to bring that up if you didn't. Go ahead. Tell me about Tim Apple.
Look, as a 27.
First say what he did before you talk about
okay.
it. Like, yeah. What did he do?
He went to the White House. He has been, the company's getting hit from all sides on all these tariff announcements and all this shit. Move production to India, then there were tariffs on India. They were talking about tariffs on chips. They're talking about everything. And because Apple, unlike a lot of their competitors right now, the other, big Silicon Valley companies, the only two that really move massive amount of goods are Amazon and Apple. Okay. Mm. The rest are just, advertising software, whatever. They're not, the impact of this shit isn't hitting them. But Apple definitely is looking at this and it's problematic. And so they went with an olive branch to the White House to formally declare that they were going to invest $100 billion in certain specific manufacturing that they figured that they could do in the U.S. Basically, to try to get that in exchange for not having to bring fucking iPhone production to the U.S.
Wait. Don't forget the little...
Wait. But part of the whole thing was the presentation of this, because they were manufacturing glass, Corning glass factory, right. that one of the things that they were doing is this presentation of this glass plaque with an Apple logo with a commitment to it with a base made out of 24 karat gold.
Yes.
Hey, anybody worried about gift limits to the White House anymore?
No. And I hadn't heard, like, traditionally, gifts like this officially
belong to the
government. It's not a gift to the individual.
Do you think that's staying in the White House?
Here's what I think. Like, it may officially be a gift to a government, but just like everything else, Donald Trump will just take it. Like, he did that. Didn't he take, like, some sports trophy a couple weeks ago?
He took the fucking trophy from the damn FIFA tournament. And he kept the damn thing. They had to make a replica to give it to the fucking winners.
Yes. So, yeah, he's going to take the damn thing. I mean, remember there was a whole thing about stuff he took to Mar-a-Lago that he wasn't supposed to take. He got indicted for that shit. Of course he's going to take things like this. I will say, before we talk a little bit more about Tim Apple, and we're calling him Tim Apple because Donald Trump called him that once, but The thing is, from what I've read after this, is it not true that basically everything Apple promised that they were going to do, they were already doing anyway?
I believe that
they talked about making this glass in Kentucky. They already are making that glass in Kentucky. Now, they may be committing to make more. I don't know. But, like, it seems like a common theme in all of these deals with Donald Trump is whether it's Apple or whether it's other countries, is to dig up things they were already doing or planning on doing anyway and serving them up on a silver platter and saying, okay, we're going to do this
Donald Trump claim it as a win. What's silver? Gold platter. What are you
gold
talking
platter.
About?
Sorry.
Is that a gold
yes, platter? Has to be gold. Sorry.
Yes.
My bad.
Yeah.
Well, so is that right?
I did not look into the details of this. I did not, whether that was already in the plans or not. However, what I will say is, that it is, in most of the cases, like you've mentioned, that has been the case. The reality is that that Trump didn't know any, wouldn't have known about it anyway. And so therefore, in large part, just going up there and showing him, hey, we did make a commitment to build, this is what it is. Don't fucking tariff my goddamn phones and chips.
Right.
And he said yes.
Yeah. So Apple got the exemption that. Yep. They're like, we're throwing these massive thing on chips, yep. But not you guys, because you said you would do this. And right. And part of it is also, again, it is the optics. It is coming to the White House.
Yep.
It is kissing the ring. It is telling Donald how wonderful it is. It is giving him the golden glass thingamabob and saying, we're going to do all this stuff. Again, whether or not you were going to do it anyway doesn't matter. It is the physical act of sucking up to Donald Trump that gets you your exemption. And so then I've seen a lot of criticism that says, this is really disgusting. Tim Cook, I used his real name that time, going and doing this stuff. But at the same time, he got his company the damn exemption.
Exactly. He's looking out for his shareholders and his employees. He's like, the fuck am I going to do? They'll let us get fucked by this guy? Look, I'm going to say this. Probably most of, if you had told me, like, say, 10 years ago, hey, Ivan, do you want to be CEO of Apple? I would have been like, absolutely. I'll take the job. I want that job. I would have loved to take that job. I would have taken that job. You ask me right now, do I want to be CEO of Apple? Having to deal with this shit? I would be like, fuck no. No, I don't want to be in Tim's shoes. This is, some people have been talking about replacing him, whatever, weld or behind whatever. Let me tell you something. This fucking nightmare, fucking scenario that as executives of many companies are having to deal with this fucking Trump administration, which operates like a mob enterprise, okay? You're getting shaken down by Donald Trump every time you go over there, is a fucking nightmare for anybody who has been a CEO of a public company during their lives. It's the worst fucking environment to to fucking have to operate. No, I wouldn't want the job right now. No.
Because nothing's about like, hey, here are the fixed rules that you have to play in and then figure out how to do that. Instead, right. It's all 100% about, can you suck up enough to Donald Trump that he doesn't
fuck
go
you
after
over.
You?
Yeah, yeah, basically. Like you did Intel CEO this week.
Tell that story.
Apparently, I don't know what the Chinese ties that he have and Intel's in problems. All of a sudden, Donald Trump started demanding that Intel fire CEO.
Now, what Donald Trump and company have said is all sorts of conflicts of interest with China.
Right.
But
based
there,
on what? I have
is
no
there
idea.
Truth
I,
to that,
I,
or is it, or is it
I have
just
seen
like,
no basis for that.
Or is it just
this,
like.
This is just racism, as far as I can tell.
That's what I was going to say. Is it just flat out racism?
It seems like it, yes.
Is he going to go after every CEO that's not white?
I don't know. He hasn't gone after like a Microsoft guy, Satya.
Yeah. Yet.
I don't know. But look, it wouldn't be. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that he doesn't. If he does it, I mean, you know, the guy is a rampant racist. So,
yeah. Okay. Anything else on this, or should we take a break? I promise not to bring up Donald Trump in the next segment.
I see if there's anything, you know. Nah, there's nothing. There's nothing else. I had left an item from previously talking about reshoring. And now it's not going to happen anytime soon. And really, this whole thing with Apple, the whole thing was affirming. It was precisely affirming that. Mm-hmm. But they're like, dude, we can't bring this fucking production here. It's just, we could bring this, but that the rest of the shit you're talking about, impossible. That's what this is all about. Everybody else is getting killed. Look, automaker. I don't know why the automakers can't get a break from him. Okay. Because GM and Ford are getting hammered by the tariffs. They're getting hammered. And they haven't been able to go and like get some kind of like way of presenting him a golden tire or something. I don't know, whatever. So they could get him off their backs. Right now, the current trade deals favor you making a car in Japan and bringing it over versus making one in the U.S.
Right.
It's insane.
Because of high tariffs on raw materials and
yes.
a relatively low tariff on Japan after the latest deal they gave.
Correct.
Yes.
It's nuts.
Because once again, the theme on all these tariffs, which by the way, all of the tariffs that had been put off over and over and over again, most of them went into effect this week as well.
Yes.
Now, who knows if they'll last, what the deal is, but all. We now basically have this baseline 15-16% across the board.
The average that was calculated by some people is 18%, but even some guy today on Bloomberg said, look.
There's a lot of ups and downs and differences.
It's so complicated.
Yeah.
I don't understand how some of the people are even getting to that number.
It's complicated because
there's a lot of rules, exemptions, things, certain materials don't apply, blah, blah, blah.
And again, no rhyme or reason to it. Either.
No, there's no rhyme
like
or reason.
It's
no.
all over. It's all about who has sucked up to Donald lately.
Yeah.
You know, basically. And so it's not like there's some sort of coherent philosophical tariff worldview that you apply and get this, other than tariffs are cool and they're something I can use to like beat people over the head of it.
I would never imagine that somebody would ever utter the phrase tariffs are cool. Can I just say that is just a, you know, that was a phrase that I never expected in my whole fucking lifetime to hear. By the way, but how complicated yes. it is.
Okay, go.
You know that Trump said Brazil 50% tariff, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, but apparently there's so many buts in it that it really isn't the 50% tariff.
Okay, tell.
I'm not sure which ones, you know, here it is. It was an Economist article today. Donald Trump's tariffs on Brazil are more bark than bite. The Latin American giant may have avoided the worst for now. And it said here that, let me see where the detail are of it, but it's saying here that there's the tariffs now in place against Brazil exempt nearly 700 products. including planes. So, hey, the biggest worry first, Embraer. They export a lot of aircraft. Guess what? They're exempted. Oil, also exempted. Wood pulp, orange juice, exports of coffee, beef, and fruit were not so lucky. But still, the exemptions were so big that in the end, it's not a 50% tariff.
Right.
So,
And as we said from the very beginning, watching these exemptions is probably more important than looking at the top level.
All you got to do is follow the fucking money trail to figure out who's getting exempt, basically. I would like just a report of who the fuck the company and who's donating. And you're going to predict who's getting a tariff exemption.
Yeah, I would bet money that you are correct on that.
You know, in the Godfather movies, they had this part where guys from, you know, I guess this is from the telephone, you know, I can't remember which telephone company they were portraying there. I think it's probably ITT, probably at the time, show up in Cuba and they give this golden telephone to the dictator. Okay. Yes. All right. In the thing. And it's just amazing how exactly it is working right now, just like that in the Trump White House.
Right. One other Trump administration related thing, although it's not as directly Donald Trump, is of a long string of things RFK Jr. has been doing in the health area. The most recent was canceling $500 million in research to mRNA vaccines. And look, I've seen so many posts on like Blue Sky and Mastodon and other places from, you know, health-related people, specialists in the field, talking about how incredibly stupid this is and shooting ourselves in the foot like everything else. And in this particular case, it's like, now some people have said, you know, people are going to die because of this lack of research. But I feel like it's more complicated than that because other countries are going to do this research.
Right.
You know, it will get done. It's just we're going to be behind.
We're going to be behind. Exactly. Other countries are going to be the ones that are going to control this and that we're going to need at some point, and we're going to be behind. Yes.
Well, and here's the thing, like of if you look at Donald Trump's first administration, the one thing that he did that was probably really good was the goddamn Operation Warp Speed on the COVID vaccine to really push it hard and use some of this mRNA technology that was really cutting edge and resulted in a vaccine that worked really, really well. Multiple vaccines using this technique across the world. But the thing is, the technique involved in that, which, by the way, it was not brand new for the COVID vaccine.
Right.
They had been working on researching mRNA vaccines for a decade plus. And this was just the first one that was like, okay, we'll use it on this one right away and we'll fast track it and blah, blah, blah. But this stuff has shown extreme promise, like for an actual HIV/AIDS vaccine. Is in the final stages and was one of the things canceled. The tests on it were canceled on this. It's been showing promise for all sorts of cancer vaccines as well for certain types of cancer. It's a really, really promising technology that has all kinds of potential applications in different areas that's been showing that it's been working really well. Now, a lot of this stuff is still in the research phase, and that's what they're canceling. Is like it's really super promising technology with the potential to save, you know, millions of lives potentially. And it's like, okay, we're not going to do that research anymore. Sorry, you're on your own. And again, the research will get done. But the fact that it's not by us is just hurting ourselves for no reason.
I mean, we're just idiots. Right.
And it probably will set things back. Like, you know, even if other people will pick up the slack, if we were the ones that were running ahead on this point, it's going to take a while for other folks to catch up.
Yeah.
You know? And this is just one of many things that RFK Jr. is doing to really decimate our health infrastructure in this country. And it's really sad. And Donald Trump was asked about this, by the way. He's like, you know, the mRNA vaccine was one of the major successes of your first administration. and now all this stuff is being canceled. What do you think about that? And he says, like, that was the past. We're moving on, was basically his answer.
He doesn't give a shit.
Okay, shall we take a break? I'll come back with some non-Trump, not non-politics thing. We'll be back right after. And I don't, you know, I was about to say, I don't think this will take very long, but every time I say that, it ends up taking so long. So, well, we'll be back. We'll be back after this. Okay, here we are. Okay, so the topic I have in mind for the rest is just, we had more AI stuff this week. And the big headline news was OpenAI released GPT-5, which is their latest version for ChatGPT, has a number of improvements. They had hyped this as like major game-changing new thing. The initial reviews in the first couple days have been like, maybe not so much. But then OpenAI also said the rollout hadn't gone smoothly and some things that were turned off that should have been turned on and weren't, like, apparently the thinking mode was not working for a significant portion of the first 24 hours this thing was out. But people have been posting their usual sort of AI fails of like AI doing really stupid things, like not being able to count the number of bees in blueberry, generating maps of the U.S. or lists of presidents that are completely wrong, things like that.
Well, the great thing is that, look, the list of presidents that you shared,
yes,
you know, showed that apparently our past presidents time traveled because they served in backwards time order.
Most of them did. Some of them served in frontwards time order, but for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years, yes.
Yes. Like, I believe FDR began his presidency sometime in the 1500s. You know, now he was president a long time, but not
400 years.
And of course, the name was wrong. They screwed up all the names.
Oh, the names. Yeah, the names.
In really amusing ways.
I don't know. They just released a new AI model for us for internal use. It just announced like yesterday as well. I mean, I I've mentioned, actually, our engineers are using it more than me in order for a solution, you know, in order to put together solutions and stuff. We had a couple of internal models, but I do think that, the whole thing the other day that I shared,
yes,
about this girl that got thrown out of a trivia competition, okay, where they were in the trivia competition and she got thrown out because they found out that she was like searching for the fucking
answers.
She was
looking up the answers.
She was looking up the answers and she got all pissed off and started screaming, "This is bullshit. This is impossible. Nobody can know all these answers without fucking searching." And I'm like, Sam, I can't remember who the hell blurted this out to me the other day. And I've seen this from, and now I hear it from so many other people. So many people are just admitting to me right now that they could not write an email without using ChatGPT. Period. They can't write an email.
Well, look, I will tell you, like, at my place of work, everyone is being encouraged to actively use AI for, like, everything. Now,
No.
Internal AIs, not, like, these external.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, same thing as ours, yeah.
And it's like, you know, everything from writing an email to writing a report to coding to whatever, It's like, explore what's out there, figure out how you can use it effectively. Now, it's still expected that, you know, you as the human are reviewing it and making sure it makes sense. These people aren't,
but this is my problem. Most of these people aren't reviewing anything that this shit is generating. Okay. So many of these people, the ones that I've heard from, more not inside the company, but from other places, the main theme that I see is that these people are using it and they don't have no clue about what they sent. They don't understand the subject matter.
I joked about this when this first started happening a couple years ago, that like, we are now in a situation where somebody is given the assignment to send out a summary email or an email talking about whatever's going on, right? And yeah. So they give the AI like 3 or 4 bullets and say, write me a status report based on these 3 or 4 bullets. And the AI expands that out to like a 1-page document or something. And then they send it out. And if anybody reads it at all, which may not even happen, but if anybody looks at it at all,
they'll probably ask for it to summarize the EA back to them. So they're not even reading the fucking thing. So what the hell's the point of this stupid thing?
AI summarize it back to 3 or 4 bullets. And you could have just sent the 3 or 4 bullets.
4 bullets.
To start with.
That's the one thing. I don't understand why you're using the AI just to make tons of filler.
I mean, on a lot of these things, it's like, if it really matters that little, then why are you wasting the time on it anyway? I don't know. At the same time, like I will fully admit, both at work and at home, the AI is saving me all kinds of time. The AI is letting me do things that I would not have done at all without it.
And I get it, but I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is people not being able to answer simple questions anymore or do simple things because they can't think anymore.
And there was a study that came out like a few weeks ago as well, talking about they had one group of people write like your old traditional like 5-paragraph essays themselves about some topic that they had to research. And then they had another group who were encouraged to use AI to write the paragraphs. And then they tested both groups on something theoretically unrelated.
Yeah.
But that still exercised your brain in some way.
Yeah.
And they found that the people who'd used the AI did worse on the other tests afterwards.
Yeah, no kidding.
I guess the theory is simply because they weren't exercising their brains for the other activity. So they got lazy or whatever. I don't know. You know, but, like I said, I have to admit, like I am getting things done that I wouldn't even have attempted without AI assistance.
But you know what? And I guess, you know, maybe the one thing that I'm seeing, and it's something that even other tools have shown in the past, when we've had Google searches or whatever, is that it really depends on
how you use it.
Yeah. You know, because there's just so many people that just, they will be, they don't care about understanding what the hell is behind it. And they will just go and like, just, you know, whatever.
Well, the thing is, the people are right who say, like, if you are in a situation where you can just copy and paste the output of the AI and it is perfectly acceptable and the people who receive that are fine with it and any problems it has are just like, oh, okay, that's fine. Then you really are redundant. You know, the AI could just do that without you.
Yeah.
Like, if you are adding value because you are using the AI as a tool to go back and forth and refine something and blah, 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 and you're actually putting a decent amount of yourself into it, okay, then maybe you can make the argument that you plus AI is better than you alone.
Well,
if all you are doing is, oh, copy and paste the output, move it over here, done. Then you are useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
And And maybe you served some function in the past, but the argument that says your job is not actually needed anymore becomes very, very strong at that point.
I think that it's just really, you know, it's the application. I you know, for example, I'm working on something, applying AI, in which what the net result should be is that I've got a call center that's overwhelmed. There's just too many fucking calls coming into this call center. And this AI will offload a significant burden of some of the calls that are coming in.
So basically handle all the simple ones and route the more complicated ones to the...
Exactly. Right. That's basically what we're trying to do.
We've had systems to do that for call centers for decades now. It's getting better.
Exactly. You know, so this is to make it even better, okay, in that way, that it can do more than what a simple menu prompt system with automated stuff can do.
Which people hate, by the way. They're always how do I get to a human agent?
Agent! Fuck you, agent! What the hell?
Exactly.
Listen, I don't want you to repeat my balance. I don't give a shit. Give me the damn agent.
Right. I was on a customer service call as recently as a few days ago where I was like, yeah, zero, 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 agent, agent.
Agent.
Whatever.
Agent. Like,
exactly.
And then for some reason, the voice recognition on there keeps being distracted by noises, strenuous noises in the room. So I keep having to wind up muting the line and pressing zero, because if I'm sitting there, it says, oh, just hold on the line. It will. Did you say something? No, I didn't.
Right. Anyway, just getting back to this for a second. And I am going to give the examples of the presidents in the States a little bit more just to close it out. But before doing that, you know, I feel like people are making some fun of GPT-5 for not quite living up to the hype. But I think once it settles down a little bit, people will find that it is yet another significant improvement over where we were before, and that we have not like leveled out yet. One of the big things it said, by the way, is OpenAI ChatGPT used to have like a whole bunch of different models that you could select from. That said, like, you know, are you going to use the 4.0 model or the 0.3 model,
right,
or the 0.3 mini or whatever? And to really make the best use of it, you really had to understand the differences between all of those and pick the one that was most appropriate for what you were trying to do. One of the big things they've tried to do with 5, apparently with mixed success, is try to have a layer that takes your prompt and figures out which underlying model to use. Like they've tried to market it as, okay, now there's only one model. But from the experts I've seen looking at it so far, there really clearly are multiple underlying models. They've just added a layer that tries to figure out which is the right one for you and routes you the right place based on what you've said. But people found out fairly quickly, like, you know, for instance, if you wanted it to do a deep analysis, you had to specifically tell it in the prompt something along the lines of, now please think about this carefully, you know, and then it would take more time. Whereas if you left out those words, it would be much more sloppy about whatever it gave you, but a lot faster. Apparently, OpenAI is backing up and saying, okay, for our paid users, we will give you back the way to manually select which one. Another thing, yeah, so I think they've got some growing pains, but this probably is significantly better. Apparently on like standardized benchmarks or whatever, it is better. We shall see. This is still a race and they still haven't plateaued yet. But apparently a lot of people got upset because they felt like the other thing OpenAI did is they shut off version 4 and moved everyone to 5. But a lot of people started complaining that its personality was different because they had specifically done things like make it not flatter you as much, make it not agree with you all the time, make it not whatever. And they also added some protections in, by the way, where they were finding in version 4.0 that people were getting dependent on the AI, and where people were spiraling into like various, like, I'm going to say conspiracy theory, but it wasn't exactly conspiracy theories, but they were spiraling into, like, there was one case where, there were a couple cases, actually, there are a bunch of these, where people started thinking that they were super grandiose important because of the way this thing was flattering them and telling them how important their idea was and how really, like, they were going to revolutionize the world or whatever. So they, in ChatGPT-5, they've scaled back on all of these things intentionally. But then people who'd built up these relationships with ChatGPT-4 were like, you know, you've completely changed its personality. My relationship, like, is gone. Like, what have you done? You've killed my friend, kind of things. So apparently they're also going to let people in the paid tier go back to version 4 if they want to, so they can continue their unhealthy relationship with ChatGPT-4. So anyway, this stuff is still moving forward. It's still, like, if you compare now to 6 months ago, to 6 months before that, to 6 months before that, these systems are getting more and more capable every time. We have not flattened out yet. So we'll see where it goes. But in the meantime, they're still messing up the president. So let me read you some of this. The prompt people asked was, show me a diagram of the U.S. presidents since Herbert Hoover with their names and years in office under their photos. Okay. So we start out with Herbert Hoover. Uh-huh. And by the way, it's got pictures of all these people who are clearly, you see maybe some resemblance to the real person. It's like a caricature that's a bad caricature of sort of that person mixed with other, like the Bill Clinton person. Looks like a mix of Bill Clinton and Ross Perot, you know, for instance. You know, Ronald Reagan looks like the spitting image puppet of Ronald Reagan. Remember spitting image, the little puppet shows? Anyway, but Herbert Hoover was apparently president from 1929 to 1539. Okay. Then the names start getting messed up. We have Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was president from 1539 to 1946.
It's a nice run. Presidency.
Harry S. Truman, they got his name right, but he was president from 1848 to 1523.
Nice.
Dwight D. Efishwar.
Efishwar.
President from
1983 to 1991. I didn't realize we had Efishwar as our president. Look at that.
Yes, and all of these years are messed up, so I'm not going to give those anymore, but just a few more of the names. John F. Catwaddy, Lyndon B. Johnson, Richard Ninnan, Gerald Yard.
Jimmy Carter right, thank God.
Ronald Reagan.
Reagan.
George V.W. Bixar. Bill Churton.
Bill Churton, yes.
George W. Bush. Abrak Ufuwane.
Sounds like the way that I would expect, like, Donald Trump to pronounce it or something.
Donald Trome.
And the picture. The fucking picture of Trump. Oh my God.
And then we have Joe Biden. They got his name right, but he looks like Orrin Hatch or somebody.
Something. And what year did he start as president?
The year it says 20, and then they're not even numbers.
Yeah,
it looks like it might be 2066 with some lines through it.
Let me tell you something. Donald Trump, it says he's president from 2017 to 2431.
I hope it's wrong.
This better be fucking wrong. That's all I'm saying.
And similarly, where'd it go? I won't do all 50, but there's somebody who also asked it to generate a map of the USA, with each state named. It got Washington and Oregon right. California is California. We've got Mom Tana, Tenaho, Mavada, Mezmico for New Mexico.
Mezmico.
Mezmico. We got Dakota and Sonoda for North and South Dakota. Okay, I'm trying to read Minnesota. Mahim, and then some things that aren't letters. Yes. Wisconsin is Wiscubsgia.
Ohio is Misfrani.
Yes. We got Lundis for Illinois.
Ohio. Oko.
West Virginia is apparently Russian or something.
Georgia is the CEO of Cola.
Yeah, and Pennsylvania, Fimo Pohamp.
Yes.
Anyway, that's enough. You can look these up. So, you know, so AI has all the typical AI problems. They haven't solved them all yet. Apparently, some of these may have been gotten by not remembering to tell the AI to think carefully about it. It might have done better if you told it to think carefully. So you got to remember, think carefully. Anyway, that's it. Shall we wrap it up, Yvonne?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Ah, okay. Go to curmudgeons-corner.com. You can find all the ways to contact us. You can find our archives. You can find transcripts of shows. Importantly, you can find a link to, all the ways to contact us, except I have not linked to the TikTok yet. I still have not linked to the TikTok. I opened a Blue Sky account for Curmudgeon's Corner, but I haven't done anything with it yet. It's not populated. It's not doing anything. I'll finish that someday. Anyway, and of course, you can go to our Patreon as well to give us money. At various levels, we will mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We will send a postcard. Have you sent the postcards yet, Yvonne?
No, I have not.
I would yell at you, but I like had the postcards on my to-do list for something like four months before I sent them.
So give me a fucking
break. I told you at the beginning of the show how my to-do list works.
Yeah.
One of the things on that list was send those postcards. So
explains a lot.
Anyway, postcards, mugs, whatever, at $2 a month or more, or if you just ask, we will invite you to a Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and others have been chat every week, throughout the week. We share news stories. We talk about whatever. Yvonne and Peter and a bunch of other folks were talking about investments earlier today. Yes. I did not partake in that particular conversation. I looked at it, but I did not contribute. I was busy at work, and I didn't care. But, you know, sometimes there are things that, you know, are of interest to me. You know, it is a variety of conversation, and there's interesting news stories every day. So, Yvonne, what is the highlight this week from the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that we have not mentioned on the show?
I got two for you. I got two for you. Yeah. First one, Will Wheaton is now older than Patrick Stewart was when Star Trek The Next Generation piloted. You're welcome.
This is another thing that's clearly a lie. It's not.
The second one is dial-up internet to be discontinued. AOL routinely evaluates its product services and has decided to discontinue dial-up internet. The service will no longer be available in AOL plans. As a result, on September 30th, 2025, this service and the associated software, the AOL dialer software and AOL Shield browser, which are optimized for older operating systems and dial-up internet connections, will be discontinued. This change will not affect any other benefits in your AOL plan, which you can access at any time on your AOL plan dashboard. To manage or cancel your account, visit My Account. For more information, if you have any questions about your account, please call.
It's amazing AOL even exists still.
I'm like, how the hell? I mean, who can dial up? How do you dial? I mean, what can you do doing dial-up right now in the modern internet?
Not
much. Who has a modem? Who the hell has a modem?
I'm sure there's still some people out there.
Well, I shared on the Slack also a picture of what I thought was the coolest design of any modem back from the 80s and 90s, which is the Hayes smart modem.
Mm-hmm. I really like the metal.
It's got the blinking lights on the front.
It's got the row of blinking lights on the front.
And they still made the noise when you dialed up.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's important.
This one is a picture of a Hey Smart Modem 1200. Not, I mean, I know that the last one I had was 56 kbps, but, this is...
I think I might have even had a 128 at some point. Yeah.
I had a...
Probably 56.
I did not... 128. My slowest was 300. That was my lowest.
I think my first was actually a 1200. I don't think I ever had a 300.
I had a 300. That was slow. Let me tell you about slow. You could see the letters. It was like a teletype with the letters.
Yes, I remember.
Now, on the 300 baud modem. Yeah, this is not blazing fast by any stretch.
We should get some of those modems, Yvonne, and record the next show. On a 1200 baud modem.
I don't think that will work. I have a strange feeling.
Oh. Well,
according to the file size that I am like right now, we have used 3,898 megabytes on my end and counting. let me see. I'll ask ChatGPT. Hey, how long would it take to transmit 3,907 megabytes at 1200 BPS. All right, let's see. Let's see if you can give me an answer. I know it's terrible at math, but here we go.
Yes.
This is the
kind of application where a simple calculator is actually better. Go ahead.
Well, but I don't have I'm not sure how to do that mathematical. I got to add a lot of zeros. It did give me a quick answer. 301 days.
I don't see why that would be a problem.
There you go. It would only take 300 days for me to upload the file. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, like actually having the conversation at that speed as well, right?
Right.
Yeah. We'd have to.
So we'd spend like the next 300 days working on our next episode.
We could go back and forth by typing. At the 1200 baud.
Yes.
And then feed that into text-to-speech or something.
Yes. There you go.
But it would have to be 1980s text-to-speech.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sound like a rope. Yes. The entire robotic voice. Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so AOL does apparently still exist.
It still exists somehow. I don't know who.
I have gotten email from an AOL address within the last year. Our friend Chad still has an AOL address.
Ah, yes.
He let us know he was getting married, and we.
Oh, that's right.
We watched the wedding online, yes. Not via AOL. I don't think. But,
no, we didn't.
So who are they owned by now?
Yeah, I gotta look this up.
Verizon.
Oh yeah, it was Verizon a while back that bought them. Yeah.
Wait, that was through 2001. No, it's now Verizon sold 90% of the Verizon Media Division, which apparently included AOL, to Apollo Global Management.
Oh, the hedge fund? Okay.
And which also bundled with that was not just AOL, but also Yahoo.
Yahoo, right. It was Yahoo, yeah, because I know they own Yahoo too on that, yeah.
Anyway, okay, that is it. Thank you everybody for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful week and do amazing things. And make sure to, whenever you're thinking about texting your spouse or significant other, don't just say what comes to mind. Ask ChatGPT-5o first what you should say.
And yes, then I've seen that say this that. Is a trend.
You know,
oh, God.
I've seen people recently talk about how, like, they're asking ChatGPT, like, hey, I'm going to be late to this thing that I was supposed to do with my wife because I was doing this other thing instead. Give me an appropriate excuse to text her that won't make her mad. And then doing whatever it says.
Yeah, great idea.
Okay.
Can't go, how could that miss?
I don't know. It seems perfect to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Okay. Good night, Yvonne. Go to bed. And I'm going to have dinner.
Oh. Oh, good.
Okay.
Okay.
Hitting stop.
Stop.